The commercial kangaroo industry across Australia follows a specific code of practice for animal welfare. This is a three-part audio guide for commercial harvesters that runs through the main changes to the new code. In particular, the three new standard operating procedures, or SOPs, found on page 23 onwards. These are step-by-step guides to follow in the field. As well as these SOPs, a good starting point for harvesters is the list of requirements on page 48.
Hello and welcome to this audio guide to the new standard operating procedure for dealing with young at foot. This third part of the audio guide explains how to determine whether an older joey that lives outside the pouch needs to be euthanized, and if so, how to do it. Now, quick warning here, this audio guide contains detailed descriptions of the euthanasia of joeys. This is important to equip harvesters with the knowledge to be able to minimize the pain and distress of joeys, so continue listening at your own discretion. What I'll do first is run through the five important definitions found in the new commercial code. Four of these are the same as in part two, but I recommend staying tuned to refresh your memory. After that, I'll break down the SOP, and in the second half, I'll speak to Terry Brill, who is the senior team leader of the Kangaroo Management Program in the New South Wales Government. So let's get started with the five definitions, some of which have been updated in the new code. Firstly, we'll start with the term euthanasia. It's the act of inducing death with minimum pain and distress to the animal to stop its current or potential suffering. In this context, it means killing an orphan joey or wormded kangaroo that would otherwise experience a prolonged death. Next, you'll notice that joeys are called young in the code, or more specifically, dependent young, meaning they still rely on their mother to some extent for milk or protection. So the words young and joey are interchangeable. They are also split into two groups, pouch young and young at foot, and there are separate procedures for dealing with each stage. Now we're concentrating on the older group, young at foot, in this part of the audio guide. These are joeys with fur found outside the pouch but which are still dependent on their mother. The more they suckle, the more dependent they are. The next term is sentient, and it's a new addition to the code. If an animal is considered sentient, it means it can feel sensations from sensory input. This is a gradual process, but the general understanding is that kangaroos and wallabies become sentient when they get their first fur, even just one hair. This often coincides with the eyes starting to open. A good way to remember it is no fur, no feeling. This brings us to the final word, which is consciousness. A sentient animal can be conscious or unconscious. A conscious animal is aware of sensations such as pain. An unconscious animal has lost consciousness and no longer feels pain. Humane methods of harvesting and euthanasia lead to instant unconsciousness followed by a quick death. The third SOP in the code, like the second one, is a step-by-step guide to the euthanasia of joeys. However, this one is only relevant to young at foot, meaning they are fully furred joeys that live outside the pouch and are much more mobile. At this age, it's important to determine whether they can survive on their own or not. We are constantly learning more about this, so even the most experienced of harvesters will benefit from revisiting this topic. I'll break this SOP into two parts: determining the level of joey dependence and applying the right method of euthanasia. Harvesters will be aware that there are different developmental stages of young at foot, and there's a table on page 38 of the code that lists all these stages and includes photos. The main thing you need to look for is how often the joeys are drinking milk from their mother's teats. Is it frequently, occasionally, or never? The more dependent they are on the milk from the mother, the more likely they are to starve on their own. Joeys that have been weaned are expected to suffer less, but their survival depends on the amount of food available, the weather conditions, and whether there are predators like foxes around. So how do you know when to euthanize joeys that are out of the pouch or when to leave them? Firstly, if the joey is suckling frequently, you must euthanize the joey because it'll suffer severely and the likelihood of it dying is very high. Or if it's only suckling occasionally or not at all, then you need to determine if there's enough good quality food available. Keep in mind that joeys, because they are growing, need a lot of food. An 11 kilo red kangaroo joey, for example, needs about 95% of the energy that an adult female would require. If there's not enough quality food around, the joey should be euthanized. If the food is good quality and plentiful, then you can choose not to euthanize the joey. Okay, moving on to the methods of euthanasia. Professional harvesters will know that it's one thing to say that a joey should be euthanized, and it's another thing to actually be able to do it. Young at foot are mobile, and many will hop away at the sound of a rifle, and there's not much you can do about this if it hops away too far. Other joeys may stand still, and some may move, but remain nearby and in view. To acknowledge this fact, the code now says that all reasonable efforts must be taken to catch the young at foot and euthanize it. The new code also says that harvesters can potentially shoot the joey before the female is shot, but they must use their judgment to determine if this is feasible or not. There are two methods of euthanasia that should be used on young at foot. Firstly, if the joey is not moving and it's within a suitable range, harvesters should use a single shot to the head to destroy the brain, just like is done with adult kangaroos and wallabies. An accurate shot is the least stressful method for the animals in this age group. You can recap on how to do this in part 1 of this audio guide. A shot to the chest to destroy the heart and lungs is less preferable, but also an option. There are some helpful pictures on page 37 that show the placement of the shot. You must not shoot at the joey if it's moving. This is important to remember because the risk of wounding is too high. The table on page 22 of the code will tell you which firearms and ammunition can be used for the euthanasia of joeys. The second method, if you're close and manage to catch a small joey by hand, and by small I mean 5 kilograms or less, you should use a concussive blow to the back of the head instead of a shot. This involves holding it firmly around the top of the back legs and base of a tail and swinging it firmly in an arc so that the back of the joey's head is hit against a large solid surface that will not move or compress during the impact. This might be the tray of the ute, for example. The advice is not to use the railing of the utility rack because it could lead to decapitation, and not to suspend the joey upside down and try to deliver a blow. Death needs to be confirmed as always by checking there's no beat, that's heartbeat, no breath, no blink, and no bounce. If there are signs of life, the method of euthanasia needs to be repeated. So let's recap. There are two main options to remember when dealing with young at foot. Firstly, euthanize. If you believe in your experience that the joey is at the age that it's likely to be suckling frequently, you can shoot it either before shooting the mother or afterwards. It should not be moving and should take a single shot to the head or chest. A concussive blow to the back of the head should only be used on joeys 5 kilograms or under. And secondly, leave alone. Only joeys that are occasionally suckling or have been weaned and that are surrounded by lots of quality leaves and grass have a chance of survival and can be left alone. Okay, our guest is Terry Brill, who leads the New South Wales Government's Kangaroo Management Program. And Terry's going to answer some questions coming out of the third standard operating procedure of the code. Terry, to set the scene a little, How many licensed kangaroo harvesters are there in New South Wales, and how experienced are they at their job?
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you. In New South Wales, to the current time, we have 462 licensed kangaroo harvesters. At the end of 2020, we had 557. So it's a significant industry in New South Wales. There's about 140 chillers throughout the state. In terms of experience, there's a wide range of experience. There are some that have been in the industry for many, many years. One, in fact, told me he's been in the industry for 45 years. And there are others that are just starting their harvesting journey.
I understand that there are standards for even new entrants coming into the industry in terms of accuracy of shooting and so on.
That's right, there is. There are quite strict standards that harvesters have to meet in terms of training and accreditations before we will give them a harvester license. Naturally, they have to have a firearms license, but they also have to meet a firearms accreditation, which involves an accuracy test. And they also have to do a TAFE course, which involves understanding how to dress the carcasses and how to maintain their hygiene and humane treatment.
The euthanasia of dependent young is a part of the job, prevent the prolonged suffering of any animal. How do harvesters learn how to do that?
The best way to learn is really from the code of practice. The code of practice spells out step-by-step instructions on how to do that and how to do it really clearly. Some harvesters, of course, will learn and have historically learnt from spending time with other harvesters. And in some cases, you know, with their dad or their uncle or something like that before they started out as with their own license. However they first learn, it's really important that they check the code of practice and make sure they're doing it correctly, because it's really important that this is done right every time for the future of the industry and the sake of the animals and making sure it's all humane.
And from your experience, what are some of the challenges that harvesters face when they are euthanizing young at foot?
One of the main challenges I find when I'm talking to harvesters about this is that the effect that the euthanizing joeys has on them as a person. No one likes to euthanize or kill a joey. No one likes to inflict pain on anything, so they do it correctly. And over time, that builds up in them, and they tend to avoid harvesting females with obvious pouch young or young at foot.
In the code that we've just talked about, they're given different ways or timings, I suppose, of managing young at foot. How do young at foot tend to react when they hear a shot?
Often there's very little reaction from the young at foot. They sort of wonder what's happened, but very little reaction to just a single shot. If there is some other disturbance, however, they will then, or some of them, particularly the older ones, will then tend to move away a little bit. You know, they might move away with their peers or the others in their group. But with just a single shot, they tend to hang around the mother.
When you say other disturbance, what are you referring to?
Well, if you move closer to the kangaroo that's been shot with the vehicle or the mob, or move away or something like that. So those sorts of disturbance.
The code explains how to identify the developmental stage of the joeys by looking for the fur, open eyes, and how much they suckle. How easy is this to do out in the field in practice? And do you have any advice for harvesters on how to manage that?
Mm-hmm. Look, it is a challenge. For young at foot, try to observe the size and the behaviour of the joey and the relationship, the interaction with the female. If you can do that prior to taking the shot, you can get a good indication of what the dependence is. If the joey's quite small, maybe look for another doe. Maybe look for another kangaroo to harvest instead of that one. If the mother's already shot, try to observe the size and behaviour again, and also consider the amount of feed available and the quality of that feed. The poorer the feed availability and the quality of the feed makes it all the more important that joeys are euthanized. Older joeys will still not survive very well if the feed is poor. So it's all the more important that you do that. The code helps with this. It gives really good information about how to do that and how to interpret that a bit more. So in terms of advice for harvesters, my advice would be really take the time and read the code. It is worthwhile. All harvesters in New South Wales, I know this is going more broadly, but all harvesters in New South Wales were given a copy in their red folders at the start of the year or as they license. And it's really important to the future of the industry to do it right every time. So read the code, make sure you know how to do it and do it right every time.
Thanks, Terry. That was Terry Brill, who leads the New South Wales Government's Kangaroo Management Program. There are two more parts to this audio guide that look at the procedures for shooting kangaroos and wallabies and the euthanasia of pouch young. You can visit agrifutures.com.au/kangaroo-resources. That's kangaroo-resources to download the audio guide and the code.